Welcome to the CRA Resource Show. CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. My name is Becky Clark, and I'm Operations Manager at CRA Resources. Today, we are sitting down with Angela Roberts, Head of Recruiting, and special guest Robin Himmick. Robin is an accomplished clinical research professional with 20 years in the industry, most recently as a director of clinical operations. So before we get started, make sure to visit creresources.com/blog to catch up on our latest blog posts. You can also sign up there to get this content delivered to your inbox, and I'll turn it over to Angela so she can give us more details on our topic today.
Well, the topic today is a continuation of a theme that we've been addressing, which is really about soft skills. And in clinical research, you know, the success of a study often, at least from my view, because we play CRAs, often comes down to the people in the field and their effectiveness. And because our focus is on CRAs, you know, they navigate complex protocols. They need to problem solve on the fly. They've got to be able to adapt to constant change. They've got to be able to address multiple different personalities. Types at the site, everyone who's passionate about trying to get a job done and ensuring that everyone's in alignment with what the a job is. But behind every high-performing CRA is a leader who knows how to identify and nurture those critical soft skills that can make or break your study. So today, I am thrilled to talk to you, Ms. Robin, because she is a strong leader in this industry. We've worked with her for quite some time, and I know for a fact that you've shaped teams to excel, not just in the technical aspects of doing their work, but in being able to be adaptable, being able to critical think, being able to problem solve, and that type of thing. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk to Ms. Robin here about how you assess new team members, how you pinpoint their strengths and their growth areas, and then how you help to mentor them to reach their full potential so they can be successful. So Robin, welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you both so much for having me. I'm really thrilled to be here.
Aw. I know it's been a minute since we've talked, and what I want to address to begin with is, why do you think, I mean, with the number of years that you've got in this industry, why do you think that it's important for, especially field monitors, but in any general capacity in clinical research, why it's really important to have, I'm going to call them the big three for the day, critical thinking, problem solving, and adaptability skills?
Oh, this is a great question. I think those are skills that I as a manager, I can't teach you. I often will, in an interview, start with, like, I can teach you how to check box an SDV. I can teach you how to look at the source. I can teach you some of the more technical stuff. But if you don't understand how to problem solve on your feet, if you are somebody or a personality that really kind of is focused, like likes the task and just the task and has to be just this way and not really flexible in how to do the job, then I can't teach you how to be flexible. I can't teach you how to think on your feet to some degree. You know, you have to have that organically in order to, I think, really be successful here.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah, isn't it? I've done a couple of ACRP discussions on this topic in general, and there's actually one Thursday to where one of the courses that's being shown is one of the programs that's already recorded out on the ACRP site, and then I'm joining for Q&A afterwards. And I think the whole concept of can you be taught soft skills is a very combative one with a lot of people. I think you can teach people soft skills, but I don't think, let me rephrase that. I don't think you can teach someone soft skills. I think the individual has to know that they have a weakness, and then they have to take the initiative to learn how to shore that up on their own. I don't know how you feel about that, because it's a big difference, isn't it, between a leader teaching it and someone actually embracing the fact that they need to improve it.
100%. I think as a manager, you have to be open and to recognize that this is a space where I need to grow. I really like my organization, but I see that the way that the department is or the company culture is, I need to be able to move and adapt. And so I can help you as a manager. I can give you tips and tricks. But if you're not open to receiving that, if you're not a person, and some people just don't thrive in a space like that, then this is not where you need to be. So I agree with you that for the right people, it can be taught, and maybe not by their manager, maybe not by their leader, maybe it is a coach, but you have to be open to it to really be, you know, self-aware, I guess.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
The best way to put it.
And individuals can improve on their own. We did a podcast with Lyle G that where I asked the question is, how in the world can you improve your emotional intelligence if you don't realize that your emotional intelligence sucks?
Isn't that so true?
Because what I, you know, I used to say many, 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 many years ago before soft skills was a language that I used a lot of, but I kind of felt like there were two types of people out there. And I don't know if it's this black and white, but there's the type of individual that is culpable. They take responsibility. They hold themselves accountable. And then there's a type of person that doesn't. You know, it's always somebody else's fault. They don't take any responsibility for any errors or issues. You know, the site didn't do this, or I wasn't told that, or the training wasn't clear, or that we all know these people, right? So yeah. I think if we translate that into the soft skill discussion, the individuals that take accountability and are culpable and they want to become a better professional, those are the ones that are constantly assessing, how did I handle this situation at the site? And could it have been better? Because that's really the best question you can ask, can't you?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's funny. I often, and even as a manager, I think my style for some of this has shifted throughout the years. And I found myself most recently a lot with the CRAs that were struggling with an issue. They'd be on site and they, you know, describe a situation where the staff was particularly difficult, let's just say. Mm-hmm. And I'd say, okay, well, walk me through, what did you do? And they'd say, okay, well, I tried to, you know, talk to the study coordinator, you know, he or she was not super helpful in resolving the, whatever the issue might've been. I think maybe in this particular instance, it was a conflicting source, you know.
Okay.
You know, trying to deal with this personnel. Now we're trying to escalate it internally within the site, you know, trying to work with the PI. So walks me through the scenario where she starts the study coordinator, gets to the research nurse, and everybody's feeling defensive, but, you know, was able to meet with the PI who was understood the predicament, really worked with her to kind of get a resolution to the source. And so she came back to me and she's like, well, how do I do the next time? And I, this is great. I think this is, you know, we walked through how she problem solved. How did she work herself through this issue? And then, okay, in there, I was coming back in and be like, oh, did you consider this? Was this an option? Could you have flagged this a little bit sooner? You know, wanting her to think, you know, she was on the right track with the way that she was doing it, but where could we make it better? Where can we think about it again and really reflect, like, what worked? What didn't work? Did your approach, were you a little too soft here or whatnot? So it's really much about sitting back and listening to the series and how they handle the situations. I always struggle as a manager with the ones that come in and they're like, I have this issue. Okay. How do you want to address it? Well, I don't know. What do you want to do? What should I do? And it's like, well, I know what I would want to do, but I want to know what you want to do. This
exactly.
is where you yeah. need to figure out you're the one that's really, you have the relationship with the site or you have the relationship with whomever. So I don't know what your relationship looks like. What is your gut saying? And the ones that they'll just look at me and say, okay, well, I don't know. I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Dear.
And that's hard. That's harder as a manager to work with. I want to see how you will do it. And then those are skills that they'll carry on forever. Right. Like
I agree. Yeah.
You work here, but this is going to be a life skill for, you know, wherever you go.
I couldn't agree more. And you said so much there. I want to unpack a little bit of that because one of the things that you said that I think is a subtone that people might not be picking up on is you have to understand the other individual and where they're coming from in order to be effective, especially whenever you're dealing with conflict resolution or negotiation in general or trying to solve a problem, because everyone comes to the table with different baggage. And it could be that they've been fired before because they made a similar mistake, or they've seen somebody else terminated, or they've been written up, or they're afraid, or they're a perfectionist, or they're this, they're that. your job and part of the whole soft skill quotient is to meet the other individual where they are, which means you've got to take a moment to figure out where the heck they are and why they're coming to the table defensive or upset or, you know, whatever the emotions are they're bringing, because all of those scenarios are very emotionally charged. And whenever you've got all these emotions broadcasting at you, it can throw you off balance, and it's going to be very hard for you to maintain some level of continuity and calmness in the discussion if you aren't expecting an emotional broadcast. So go in thinking about, okay, where is Robin today? Why is she going to be upset? Could she be upset? Why would she be upset? How can I look at this to begin with so that I can diffuse that so we can get right down to business and solve the problem? Because problem solving doesn't have to be complicated, but it is if someone's defensive about it, or if they are absolutely 100% you're wrong and they're right, and they're not willing to meet somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And at the very least, what you had said, Robin, is you need your people to come to you with an idea, with a proposed solution. I've seen this even on our own team sometimes internally. I need you to give me your recommendation. What do you think that is the right course of action for this? Even if you think you might be wrong, that's why you're coming to me. That's why you're escalating, because you want a second opinion, a second set of eyes, and maybe some advice on how can I tweak this plan to make the best outcome. But you've got to come with a plan. You've got to come with an opinion, and you've got to have thought all the way around this issue to see why is it happening, how can we get at the root of it, and how can we deal with it. You've got to come with a solution first and then tweak it with your manager.
Yeah, I think this is where the critical thinking component is really like beneficial, right? Mm-hmm. You've got some CRAs who are out there, and you've got this query that's going back and forth between data management, the site, the CRA, and maybe nobody actually genuinely understands what each other is asking for. And so your CRA, you're looking at this thinking, all right, we don't want to keep wasting time having this ping pong back and forth. How can I look at the problem? Where is the root of this issue? Do I just need to get on the phone with data management and be like, what is it that you're looking for? So now you've effectively kind of thought about it, triaged what maybe the issue is with this query, and saved yourself and the site and the data team hours of aggravation. You know, being able to think on your feet like that and really understand the bigger picture, right? Not just the isolated issue, but thinking about how to work through some of those issues on your own, you know?
Yeah, I love that. And I look back and I think of things that, you know, big, fat, huge, egregious mistakes I've made in my life. And usually there's a lot of telling signs at the very beginning. And if you are actually present and looking at what's going on at the beginning and trying to assess the root cause before it gets out of control, a lot of times it's easier to solve, isn't it?
It is. It's not always to see it, though, in hindsight, right?
Unless you're open. Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah, I should have done that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But we learn. And this is how we learn and grow. Even, you know, when I'm meeting with teams and maybe they addressed a problem, maybe in not the most successful way. Maybe they, you know, thought that they were doing the right thing and it blew up into a much bigger problem. I think that's okay, too. Right.
Yeah,
it's okay not to always have the right answer, because I think that every problem can be fixed somehow. Not always easy, but we need to be open and willing to explore, like, okay, what did I do wrong, or how could I have done this differently to have gotten a better outcome? And just accept that, okay, well, next time you'll know whenever this happens again, because a lot of what we deal with is they're the same underlining issue. Often it just presents differently with motions or, you know, personalities.
I agree. Let me ask you this. Do you think that more experienced individuals navigate these soft skills a little bit better than younger professionals do?
Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, there's a part of me that says, well, that's not a fair question, because, you know, we talk a lot about individuals trying to break into the business and that we should give the youngins a chance and, you know, let's give them experience with simulations and do this, that, or the other. But I mean, I have to ask the question, doesn't seasoning matter? Because if you've experienced a lot of these scenarios and you've actually assessed what's worked and what hasn't, doesn't that make you a seasoned professional? And doesn't that in some ways improve your ability to handle these types of situations? Or alternatively, I guess it could make it the worst case. I don't know. Thoughts?
So I guess my thought is I don't know that I would make it age specific, because I think I have seen seasoned CRAs who know how to do the job from a technical perspective and understand some of the nuances at the site with the personalities, but they are often some also maybe less adaptable. They're a little bit more, stuck in their ways of how they're doing things, and less likely to evolve or less likely to adapt to a process like that, a new age or a new way of doing things, yeah. Because they're like, well, I've been doing this for so long and this is works and I've got this.
Right.
And then
right.
Conversely, you can have some younger folks that who are maybe less experienced in the job itself, but they understand the personalities and how to work with people to at least get it. Mm-hmm. So I think it actually comes down, and I guess the way I see it, is more about personalities. Everybody is just so different. I think experience right. is important, and it's what a lot of companies are always looking for. We want a seasoned CRA, but I'm always like, well, what does that look like? Somebody who's great at this but is not a people person also isn't going to be what I need in the field in order to get
flexible, willing to be flexible. We see adaptable. That a lot.
Yeah.
Whereas the younger folks are a little bit more, you know, willing to, I'll do whatever you need. Okay. Yeah, sure. Great.
They're hungry. They're happy to adapt and try something new and I'll try
moldable.
No, I agree. I call the senior folks that are less adaptable. And not all senior folks are. I mean, we work with some brilliant ones that are just like, let's go embrace this new tool or technology or this, you know, new process. But I call the ones that aren't I don't do windows housekeepers, right? Because you've got those individuals, they're hired for a role and they're like, yeah, but I won't do that. And I won't do that. And I'm not going to do that. And, you know, and it's just, it's frustrating when you're trying to lead a team with that too, because that kind of an attitude can be quite contagious. But on the other side, you're very enthusiastic, hungry individuals who are trying to learn and grow. That can be contagious as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot with the current environment where we're getting new systems and new processes, and it's like a constant, here's a new EDC this, ETMF this, constantly changing. If you've been kind of, I don't want to say stuck, but if you're used to a certain system, if you're used to certain styles, it's harder to kind of flex to go in a different direction. And when you haven't had as much experience, you just want to eat that up as much as you can.
Yeah, that's true. So when you're assessing teams and you see shortfalls, and I know you had said it's hard as a leader to teach someone problem solving or critical thinking or whatever, but are there things besides the coaching examples that you've given that you've done in the past for team members where you've seen, hey, look, you need help in organizational and time management, or you go read this book or go talk to this person? Or, I mean, are there things like that that you've done in the past?
Absolutely. I think sometimes I may catch on to someone's strength, or maybe I hate to call it a weakness, but maybe an area of growth before they have. And so, you know, I will kind of identifying, hey, you seem to be struggling with your report. It's taking you a really long time. Like, this is our window when you need to do it. What are you doing to help yourself? And I've had some that are like, well, I do this, I do that. And so we'll go through some different, like, time management type stuff, you know.
Right.
I'll recommend, you know, different strategies and try to understand the person. But then it's more about, like, what works for them. Like, do you need extra reminders? Like, can you set them up in your calendar? Can you set a timer of, like, what you need to do? I like to make it, and I feel it as a manager too, as I continue to grow, it's more about understanding the individual and where they are and mm-hmm. what works in their processes. Because what works for me, it may not work for them in any way. So my ideas of like, all right, well, this is my problem and I'm going to go and put 100 reminders in my calendar would work perfectly for me. But if you're not looking at your calendar, then you're going to miss all of this. So how, like, understanding that piece of it, I think is critical as a manager.
Yeah. Yeah, meet them where they are. It's the same thing. If you're dealing with a problem at the site, the CRA needs to meet the coordinator where he or she is. And it's the same thing as a leader too, isn't it? Is meet them where they are, which means you got to spend the time to understand where they are. I love the example. So
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think that's about as much time as we have, Robin. Please come back. I would love to bounce other things off of you and get your opinion. We just really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure, ladies. I really appreciate it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Angela, as well for joining us today. Thanks to everybody out there listening at CRA Resources. We understand you have many options when it comes to selecting which clinical recruiting company to partner with. Not only do we take pride in working with the highest quality CRAs and site managers, we also only work with quality pharmas, biotechs, medical device companies, and CROs who recognize the importance and value of a CRA's role. So feel free to reach out at CRAResources.com for more information about our firm.